If you've ever read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, you'll recall that early scene when Captain Walton's ship becomes trapped in Arctic sea ice. The crew had been trying to reach the North Pole when a mysterious, ghost-like monster appeared in the distance. Well, Shelley was writing during a period in British history when the country was gripped by the race to find the Northwest Passage. Napoleon had just been defeated.
The world was England's to conquer. If the ice was impenetrable, if the odds were impossible, no matter. They were Englishmen, members of a superior race, the children of destiny.
That's Anthony Brandt reading from his new book, The Man Who Ate His Boots. It's about Britain's obsessive search to find a sea passage through the Arctic that could connect Europe to Asia. The most famous and tragic expedition was led by Sir John Franklin. In 1845, he led two ships and 129 men through the ice-covered waterways above the Canadian mainland. Not one man survived. For that story, we're joined by Anthony Brandt. He's in our New York bureau. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
Before we talk about the famous Franklin Expedition of 1845, set the scene for us. I mean, how much did this quest to find the Northwest Passage capture the imagination of the British public in the early 19th century?
Well, it was an old quest. It had been going on for 300 years, or nearly 300 years by that time. And the public was very enthusiastic that it was being renewed after the Napoleonic Wars. The country was feeling good about itself. This had been an historic mission that the English had assigned themselves to do many centuries before. They felt it was their time and that nothing could stop them.
There were a series of these expeditions, and about at least 15 of them,
yes,
until 1845, when Britain's Admiralty decides to sponsor a new expedition again to find the Northwest Passage. John Franklin is tapped to lead this expedition, but he was the last choice, right?
He was the last choice. He was 59 years old. He had no business doing this again, but he was trying to save his reputation.
I mean, he had already been on a few of these expeditions before.
Right.
And I mean, he wasn't sort of a hero out of central casting. He was described as, quote, looking something like a stuffed bear.
Yes. He was pudgy. He said if he had to walk around on the ice, he probably wasn't the person to do it, but all he had to do was stay on ship and direct things.
So the journey starts out okay, but what happens sort of a few weeks in?
They left Baffin Bay in August, I think, of 1845. They headed into Lancaster Sound, and nobody saw them after that. No word came out. They disappeared for 3 years. And in 1848, the Admiralty got worried and said, we've got to look for them and find them. 11 years they searched for them. What they found eventually was a single piece of paper describing, up to a certain point, what had happened. They had gotten trapped in the ice after the first year, unable to move. The ice was slowly taking them, drifting them south at the rate of about 14, 15 miles a month, maybe not even that fast. And it was clearly polar ice, thick ice, and there was no way out. They had been trapped there for 2 years.
And most of the crew survives for these 2 years. The survivors do abandon the ships, and eventually everybody died. They had plenty of food. Why didn't they survive?
It's not fresh food, and scurvy was the scourge of all sea voyages at the time. You need vitamin C on a daily basis. It only comes in fresh food, and they took enormous quantities of lemon juice. But after 6 months, 9 months, a year, lemon juice loses the vitamin C. It's a fragile chemical, and it kind of disintegrates. So by the end of 2 years, usually 18 months, scurvy will appear. And unless you have fresh meat or fresh vegetables, it will very rapidly start killing people.
And there's evidence to suggest that the crew members who eventually left the ship actually had to eat the others who died.
Well, what they did when they left the ships was they did some peculiar things. They dragged boats with them filled with their silverware and with tons of clothing that they didn't need. You wonder if they had sort of lost their reason at some point. But the evidence of cannibalism is irrefutable. At some point, they started eating their dead. There are many, many bones that survive with saw marks on them, and the only reason you cut into a bone with a saw is so that you can put the limb or whatever it is into a pot and cook it. And it was a huge controversy when evidence came back that they had resorted to cannibalism. The English were very, very upset about that.
Anthony Brandt, the passage wasn't navigated until 1903 when the Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen did it. Now, of course, you can do it as a tourist in an icebreaker. And in fact, in 2007, for the first time in recorded history, there was almost no sea ice in the passage at all, which seems like a kind of a fitting epilogue to the story that you tell.
You have to imagine ice that's 40 feet thick. That's as thick as a four-story building is tall. That's thick. And if you'd seen it, you would never believe that it would ever melt. Now, it melts.
That's Anthony Brandt. His new book is called The Man Who Ate His Boots. It charts the history of the search for the famed Northwest Passage. Anthony Brandt, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.